and 1360 AM, along with Southern Season, present Side Dish with Jay White and Liz Cooper. Listen over the next 30 minutes as Jay White and Liz Cooper present the Chapel Hill Carrboro community with insights from the world of culinary, local and national farming, and so much more. Side Dish is brought to you by Southern Season, Chapel Hill's landmark gourmet emporium. Great for local gifts and delicious favorites. Visit them online at southernseason.com. And now, here's your host, Jay White and Liz Cooper, with Side Dish on 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL.
Welcome. You're listening to Side Dish on WCHL with my new co-host, Liz Cooper. I'm Jay White, and our guest today is Andrea Weigel, food writer for the News and Observer out of Raleigh.
Hello.
Hey, Andrea. Great to have you here today.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here.
Andrea, you've been coming and visiting us for over the years. This is probably 5-6 years ago that we started with you, and your career has taken only positive steps up, as far as I can see.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah. But Liz had a question for you.
Andrea, I was reading your bio on the NNO, and it says, it talked about you being a court reporter. That's quite a leap from court reporter to food writer. So wondering how all that came into being.
Well, I came to Raleigh to work at the News and Observer in 2000, and I did cover the Wake County Courthouse and then federal courthouse and legislature and whatnot. And I had always been one of those reporters who curled up with a cookbook at night, I think to kind of de-stress from what I was seeing in the courtroom. And at the end of my kind of legal affairs career, I covered the death penalty.
Wow.
And as it ground to a halt in North Carolina, and you're spending a lot of time dealing with people who are grieving, regardless of what side of the issue they're on. And so I was, when this job came open as a food writer, I leapt at it. And I had luckily done some stories on the side for the previous food editor, and so they knew what I could do.
So when did you decide that you wanted to get a culinary certificate? As
you know, soon after I became the food writer, I realized that I didn't know the language of the kitchen.
You needed some legitimacy to...
Right, right. I needed to be able to talk to chefs and understand what they were saying to me when they talked about dice and small and sauté and what exactly that kind of stuff meant.
Yeah, it's interesting. There's a whole different dialogue and terminology that goes with the culinary world as opposed to, obviously, the legal world.
Right. And, you know, I didn't know any of the mother sauces. I might have known Hollandaise was a mother, you know, was a sauce, but... You know, I didn't understand any of that, let alone how to make them.
Right.
And so it was really helpful for me to go to Wake Tech, and I took like 2 cooking classes and 1 baking class, and I had to pass the food safety test. and that kind of thing.
So you got to know the danger zone,
right? Yes, I know the danger zone.
Everybody knows that danger zone. That's the key phrase.
So, you know, what is the food scene like right now in Raleigh? Is it still It's been so incredibly active in the last couple of years. Are you finding things you have no trouble finding things to write about,
no,
I assume?
No, I really do have no trouble finding things to write about. And, you know, it's been really kind of fascinating to me to watch the evolution of the food scene in the Triangle in general. I mean, I think when I started 7 years ago, Chapel Hill was and had been kind of ahead of the curve of the other 2 cities. And now Durham is absolutely positively exploding.
Yeah.
And I think it's more of the epicenter of all things food in the Triangle. And Raleigh is improved so much, I can't even describe it. I mean, it used to be this kind of slow, steakhouse kind of town. And it's with Ashley Christensen taking over downtown.
Absolutely.
And Empire Eats and this wonderful new restaurant called The Stanberry. I don't know if you guys have heard about it.
No.
It's the chef who used to run the Admiral in Asheville has a brother.
That's right. I did hear about this. Admiral is an amazing place.
Yeah, the Admiral is an amazing restaurant, and then his brother lived here, and so he came and opened this restaurant. It's near Peace College in Raleigh. It is the best meal I have had in Raleigh. My apologies to Ashley Christensen, but I've had in years. It was amazing. And so I highly recommend it
specializing in the farm to fork thing?
He is, but he's got one of these really, Greg Cox and I talked about it. He's got one of these really adventurous menus. Like, you know, he's doing sweetbreads and pig tail and pork cheek and that kind of thing. And so you have to be kind of open to that sort of stuff. But I had a ribeye that was out of this world. I mean, so
was it locally sourced?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, most of his stuff is local, and you know, he had great raw oysters.
I think when you can do the simple things extremely well. I mean, I think that a lot of times people get mixed up in this. It's got to have, you know, 57 different ingredients, and sometimes just that simple thing done really well speaks volumes about the chef.
I can't speak highly enough about it. My husband and I are going back to get that ribeye. So it has been neat to kind of watch the evolution of the food scene in the Triangle.
So how do you go about, do you help Greg? I mean, I'm not, do you and Greg talk about,
you know,
when you write for each other's
and
ideas?
I mean, Greg is the
food editor.
Well, Greg is the restaurant critic.
And
he's freelancer, and he's been doing it for at least 15 years, if not longer. And so it's, for me, he's this almost encyclopedia of the food scene in the Triangle and how it's evolved. So when I'm writing a story that's trying to have that kind of sweep, I often have a conversation with Greg before I write it. I often send him segments of the story and ask him to read them. And we bounce ideas off each other. We often go to lunch together on his review places. We go places that I won't be recognized, so that I don't sacrifice his anonymity. But so usually it's like hole in the wall ethnic places that we go. Or out of the way places that we go. But we also often have conversations just talking back and forth about story ideas. And
do you think does he share your opinion about how the culinary scene in Raleigh has exploded and in a positive way?
Yeah. I mean, I think his job is much more interesting now than it was, you know, 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Oh gosh, it has to be.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just so many new places that have opened, and I mean, obviously for every 10 that open, there's 5 or 6 that close down, but I think that's just the evolution of the food business.
Yeah.
You always have something new and exciting.
Yeah, and it's not just the high-end places. It's like all these cultures that kind of come to Raleigh and, you know.
Are the food trucks a big part of the Raleigh scene? I know Durham is all about food trucks. And
Raleigh has been a little bit more reluctant on food trucks. And, you know, they had these rules that weren't great, and they finally revised them. We had these food truck rodeos in downtown on Sunday afternoons that completely kind of persuaded Raleigh restaurant owners that food trucks were not going to steal their business. Yeah, we're not a threat.
I'm going to have to stop you there. Hold that thought. We're going to be right back. We have to take a break. You're listening to Side Dish on WCHL.
You're listening to Side Dish on 97.9 FM and 1360 AM, WCHL, presented by Southern Season in Chapel Hill, online at southernseason.com. And now, back with more Side Dish with Jay White and Liz Cooper.
Welcome back to Side Dish. I'm Jay White. I'm here with my co-host, Liz Cooper, and our guest today is Andrea Weigel, food writer for the NNO. Before the break, we were just talking about how Andrea gets some of her ideas. So, Andrea, please.
Well, I was talking about this juice story I wanted to do because downtown Raleigh is very, to me, small, but apparently it can support 3 juice companies all within like a 3-block radius. There's a guy selling at the Morning Times. There's a guy selling at Bolt Restaurant. There's a juice bar. And then there's a guy who's selling out of a truck on the street or kind of a cart on
the
street.
Mixing up different types of vegetable juices, fruit juices, everything. Okay.
Yeah. So it's you know, those kind of things will strike you. Some other things are more obvious, like Lionel Vatinet of La Farm. You just had a cookbook.
That was
an opportunity to write a bigger profile of him. You know, it could be timely, you know, like there's a holiday and I want to write about a holiday tradition, that kind of thing.
Do you have any plans this year for one of those series type articles that you're so good at? Like, I remember that comes right to mind is the one from when you followed the pig from farm to table.
Well, we were actually just talking the other day about doing a series of mini profiles in the Sunday paper about kind of the double life of people in of artists. What I always notice is that there's a lot of people who work in the food industry who do something else. Like, there's this great, the bar manager at Fox Liquor Bar is actually an illustrator on the side. There's lots of people who are, and this David Manconi, who's our music writer, would help with this. There's lots of people who are, you know, rock stars on stage who one of them does valet at Duke Hospital. You know, it's they just have different lives. And so we're thinking about doing a series of mini profiles about that double life, you know, their artistic endeavor and, you know, what pays the bills.
Cool.
So that'll be interesting, we hope.
That would be. That'd be
I think that's definitely the subculture of the food business is, you know, the waitress that's actually an actress.
Or right.
Whatever. There's always that
always been
second
that way.
Career.
When I,
yeah.
When I get a real job.
Exactly.
You know,
right.
It turns out, oops, this is my real job.
So, well, I think the last time we talked was a few years ago, but we were talking about the change at the NNO and change in newspaper business in general. So, can you how's it going? Is it,
you know, I've survived. I don't even remember how many rounds of layoffs at the paper. I think the layoffs are done, at least at the News and Observer. I hope those. You know, we're owned by the same company, McClatchy, that is the Charlotte Observer, so I'm very familiar what's going on with them, and they just did a small buyout at the end of the year. You know, we had furloughs for the last several years. We think we're past that now. You know, when I started the News and Observer 13 years ago, there were 230, 240 people in the newsroom. Now we're down to about 70.
Oh, my.
Wow, that's quite a change.
Yeah, it is quite a change.
That really does make you a survivor, doesn't
it? Yeah, and so it is a lot of what can you do with the less people and being realistic about that. But luckily for me, we... being associated with the Charlotte Observer, I get to work very closely with Kathleen Purvis. And so we kind of, she'll write the food centerpiece one week, I'll write the food centerpiece another week. We benefit from that kind of content sharing, I think. You know, I don't know where, you know, newspapers are still trying to figure out what the business model is going to be in the new world of the internet. And in our newsroom, we see a lot of focus on video. So you're going to see a lot of me doing a lot more video.
Oh, really?
In the future. Doing a lot more stuff that's for the tablet, designed specifically for the tablet. Like we have a craft beer columnist, John Frank, who's been doing an occasional column on traveling to go drink beer. Like what's the beer scene like in Boone or in Charleston or Richmond? And we're going to create kind of a tablet specific app with that.
Hmm.
To make it, so those are the things you have to think about.
In the world of YouTube, it makes perfect sense. People just clamor to see the next video, the next thing popping up, and it makes perfect sense to sort of trend that direction.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, and it's been really interesting. Last fall, I had a lot of fun kind of live streaming from they do a media lunch before the state fair, so you get to taste the new deep fried concoction at the state fair. And so I did live blogging of that and pulling in people's tweets so that people could see not only the reaction, but the photos. Mm-hmm. And that was a lot of fun.
In
and
real
then,
time, right? Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Right. And then afterwards, I kind of edited that down to a Storify story, and people that got a ton of traction online. And so I think you're going to see storytelling in a variety of different ways. And I think that's the only way that newspapers are going to survive in this.
Are you enjoying doing the blog? I love the title, Mouthful.
It's
great.
Great.
Yeah, I do enjoy doing the blog. My blog is different in that I usually am just trying to tell people what's happening out in the food scene, what events, what dinners, what classes they can go to. Mm-hmm. Other people take a much different approach to their blogs, like Kathleen Purvis. She sees it as a way to do more mini columns.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't do that so much. It's hard enough for me to come up with column topics. But the thing that I think that's interesting, I was talking with the woman who does the fire fire on the triangle, fire on the rock,
right.
Dining competitions. When I post that on my blog, they sell out more quickly than in other
That's
markets. And I think it's because my identity via Twitter and the blog is telling you what's going on.
So you're associated with what's up and coming in the area.
Right.
That makes
right.
a big...
Right.
Yeah, that's definitely...
Right.
Well, we're reaching the end of this segment again. Before we let you go, though, we need to ask you a couple questions.
So, yeah.
These are our standard
These are our standard questions.
Ooh, okay.
So here we go. Who would you like to be seated between at a dinner party? Famous, dead or alive, who would be the two people you would like to be nestled between to get their ear?
MFK Fisher. Gosh, I don't know on the other side. Probably MFK Fisher and Julia Child. That would be fun.
Wow. Oh, yeah. That would be a great party.
Mm-hmm. And the other one is?
So if I go to your house and I open up your refrigerator, what dirty little secret am I going to find in there?
Let me think. Well, since this time of year, probably Cool Whip.
Oh, that's a wonderful thing. I was afraid you were going to say a science project.
No, lots of jars of pickles, right. And probably Cool Whip.
Not necessarily eaten together, I assume, but
only at certain times of year.
Well, Andrea, it's been a pleasure having you, as always.
Absolutely.
Good luck with the new year.
Thank you.
And we'll be talking to you soon again.
Great.
You're listening to Side Dish on WCHL with Jay White and Liz Cooper. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Side Dish on 97.9 FM and 1360 AM, WCHL, presented by Southern Season in Chapel Hill, online at southernseason.com. And now, back with more Side Dish with Jay White and Liz Cooper.
Welcome back to Side Dish with Jay White, and I'm Liz Cooper. We are going to talk a little bit now about Southern Season and all of the new and exciting things that are happening in the store.
Yeah, we have been on quite the tear since early fall of 2013. We decided to do some major renovations after the little tweaks that we had been making in the previous years.
After the little mini renovations.
But I promise, if I can say that with tongue in cheek, that we're done moving things. I promise, folks.
Jay likes to make promises he sometimes can't keep.
I know some of the frustrations around the holidays was that everything had been moved. Well, we can tell you that the staff shared your frustration because we couldn't find things. We were all learning together, but it settled down just before Christmas, and we had a great Christmas season, and we thank you for all your patience, and I hope you're enjoying the new store. We added lots of new color, new furniture.
All sorts of new products, and it's just such a different experience from back in the day of being able to, you can walk in and you literally can see all the way across the store, and I think for me, it's a wonderful new experience. You can walk in and you actually see that we have a candy department and a wine department, and you know, of course, for me, I want everybody to see the wine department.
So yeah, Liz is our wine buyer manager. And she's done a great job. She's been with us 3 years?
2 years.
2 years.
2 years. Seems like 10, but 2 years.
And I am going to have my 20th anniversary in February. So
Wow. We've
got some time under our belts. And we are still really enjoying getting into the store every day. And it's always a challenge and a new adventure. So for those who haven't visited us lately, please come in and see the new changes. And for those who might be traveling, we need to tell you that the Charleston store has been open since September of 2013, and it's actually in a small suburb called Mount Pleasant, which is on the north side of the Cooper River Bridge. Easy to get to, right off of Coleman Boulevard. And it's
730 Coleman Boulevard. So if you're GPSing, if you're one of those folks, 730 Coleman Boulevard.
Okay. It has all the trademarks that you'd expect from Southern Season, a cooking school, run by the manager that used to be up here. So those of you who know Marilyn, she's now running the cooking school down there. It has a great restaurant called Southerly, and it has the retail part of the business. So
it's a little bit smaller, but definitely has all of the telltale signs of Southern Season and all those wonderful things that you come to the store for. So now you can, those South Carolinians, we still, of course, would love you to make the trek to Chapel Hill, but you're right there in Mount Pleasant, and it's a quick and easy in and out.
And who doesn't like going to Charleston? I mean, really.
Exactly.
It's a great place. And
stay tuned.
Up and coming, yes, stay tuned. We have Richmond. This Richmond store should be open hopefully by the 1st of July. We're aiming for our opening in Richmond, and that will be on Staples Mills Road. So there's lots going on with Southern Season. We welcome you to come in the store and check it out. Give us your feedback. And if you are traveling, please visit Richmond in June, after June, and Charleston anytime. So you've been listening to Side Dish on WCHL. This is Jay White and my co-host Liz Cooper. Until next time, good eats.